I'm your number one fan.
We all go a little mad sometimes.
Whatever you do, don't fall asleep.
What an excellent day for an exorcism.
My mom and dad are me.
Hello.
Hello.
Welcome back to the Killer Cuties podcast.
Yes.
We're here. It's Tuesday. We're doing it.
Yep. We're here.
Thank you for your addition.
We're excited to be here. We're excited to talk about Bones and All.
Yep. That is the movie of the day.
The week.
The week. Yeah, the whole week.
Tuesday, until next Tuesday. Week. Yep.
Have fun.
When we talk about Mandy. And that we'll see you then. Bye.
Thanks for listening.
No. But first, news.
News. I'll start?
Yes.
Thanks. I appreciate the support. Okay. So, there's some drama happening.
Hell yeah.
And I am a messy bitch, so we're going to talk about it for a second.
Yes, please.
So, the Terrifier series, which I know you're a huge fan of.
Oh, yeah.
So, the guy who plays Art, David Thornton Howard.
Yes.
Switch those up. And then Lauren Lavera, who plays Sienna Shaw in the franchise. You haven't seen the sequels, but she's in the sequels.
Okay.
Anyways, both of them very outspoken online about political issues. Very much so against Trump.
Oh, good. Okay. That's okay.
Big fan. So they've been very outspoken about a lot of things. David Thornton Howard. I think you should change your name to David Howard Thornton. Anyways.
Yeah.
But he recently said something about, basically, to sum it up, he said, don't call yourself a fan of mine if you're against the LGBTQ community. They worked on the films that I make. They're a part of this. They need support just as much as the next person. You're not a fan if you're against them, basically.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Great. Okay. Love that.
Okay.
Not that long after that.
Oh, dear.
To a surprise of absolutely nobody, Damien Leone got involved, the director, who you already love so much. And he basically said that Terrifier is not a political movie. It's just for entertainment. He likes horror movies just for entertainment. Just as a side note here, horror has and always will be one of the most political forms of movies ever. Anyways, that aside, he's basically saying at least Terrifier itself is not political. And he doesn't like that people are weaponizing their platforms and the Terrifier movies to basically push their own agendas. It did not go over well. People are not happy with him at all. A lot of fans of the franchise are very upset with that. My jaw stayed exactly in place. I was not surprised at all that he said something like that. But in an upside, I've seen a lot of people talking about horror movies and the politics that are involved in them and the stories and the messages that they're saying, which has been really cool. So that's kind of an upside, as people are
talking about it.
Right. And just expressing that every horror movie you've seen has a political underlying message. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the one in Terrifier is not great.
I think maybe he didn't mean for it to have a political message, but it sure did. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyways, I thought that was fun drama and I thought you'd like it because it confirms what you already thought about him. So.
Yeah, that he's the worst.
He's the worst.
And he makes terrible movies.
Well, yeah. Anyways, wow. That's my first drama news.
I love it. Thank you so much.
No problem. I did summarize that a lot, and it was kind of off the top of my head. I didn't write anything down for news because I was lazy, so.
Oh, wow.
But we can link the article that talks about it.
Yeah. Okay, my first news is very on brand. The Jurassic World Rebirth trailer is live.
Amazing.
And we finally got our first look at the T-Rex hybrid design that was said to be inspired by the Rancor from Star Wars and Xenomorph.
Yes, the alien.
Yeah, and it is exactly a mix of those three things. T-Rex, Rancor, and Xenomorph. It's spot on. Exactly what you would imagine. I'm personally not sold on Scarlett Johansson's performance just quite yet. I think it's a little stiff. But if the design of the dinosaurs is any indication at all of what we have to look forward to, I'm actually very excited. I'm tempted to forgive them for releasing the movie in July.
Yeah, that was a big no-no on your end.
I'm really mad about that still.
Yeah.
I won't forgive them, but I might, but I won't. I thought about it briefly because the dinosaur looks really cool. But yeah, the premise, close your ears if you don't want to hear, but the premise of this movie is there's another island we haven't seen yet that has some hybrid dinosaurs that were too dangerous to be in Jurassic Park. So this is like the reject island, the dinosaur reject island.
Got it.
And ScarJo and the one guy that on Broadway or whatever. Is he on Broadway? Why does everybody like
Jonathan
him?
Bailey?
Yeah, what's his?
He was in Wicked. That's why he's got so much hype around him right now.
Right. Okay, yeah. So I was on the right track. Musical guy.
Musical man.
They have to go and get DNA from the three biggest, baddest dinos on this big, bad dino island to save humanity. Of course. High stakes. It's got to be the three biggest dinosaurs. I don't know. I think the concept is a little lackluster. I think ScarJo is a little lackluster. But that dinosaur really fucking slaps.
I mean, how many times can you have these dinosaur misadventures before you just shut down the island, you know?
Well, this is a new island.
But why are we having the second island when the first one didn't go well?
This is the third island in the movies.
Why did we have the second island when the first one didn't go well?
Fair.
That's what I'm wondering.
Yeah.
Let alone a third.
Yeah.
It's craziness.
It's fair. It's reasonable to
thank you
question.
Yeah.
But hey, it's a $1 billion franchise. We'll make as many islands as they need. And I'll keep paying them.
And you'll keep watching. Great. Well, my last news is just updates on the award show season. We have some horror movies that are in there.
Oh, yeah, for once.
Yeah, for once. The Critics Choice Awards happened on the 7th. So if you're listening to this when it releases last Friday. And there were a couple wins for horror movies. Nosferatu won for Best Cinematography.
Hooray.
Very exciting.
And accurate.
Deserved.
Yes.
And then The Substance actually took home 3 awards.
Wow.
Very exciting. It got Best Hair and Makeup, Best Original Screenplay, and Best Actress for Demi Moore.
Yay.
And even more exciting, in her speech, she kind of shouted out that horror gets overlooked a lot, so she's very excited that the recognition is finally going towards the genre. So that was really cool to see because, you know, it does get neglected a lot. People don't take it seriously, and it's sad, and I wish that they would. And I'm glad that this season we're at least making some progress there.
I agree.
Yeah. But I think it looks good for her for the Oscars, so that's exciting too.
Yeah.
We won't know until it happens what's going to win there, but I'm hoping that at least Demi gets Best Actress. That's my hope.
Yeah, gets her flowers.
Yeah. I hope they get more than that, to be clear, but
at the very least.
If they have to get one, I'm kind of rooting for it to be her.
Yeah. Guess I should watch it. I still haven't watched it.
Yeah.
I'm nervous.
Why?
Because it's body horror and it just makes me nervous. I got the burps just thinking about it.
Yeah. I'm sorry that happened to you.
It's okay. Okay, one more for me.
Okay.
Final Destination Bloodlines, the trailer came out, or it's like a teaser. It's not a full trailer, a week or two ago now, and a bunch of it's already trending on social. Looks very hip in terms of cinematography, very in, very up modern, if you will. But seems to follow the formula. Everyone has come to know and love the one in a zillion deaths. Yeah, well, I mean, I've got good news. All the Final Destination movies are now streaming on Max, leading up to the release of the newest installation on May 14th. So go have a marathon.
On Mars. I will.
Yeah. We have to.
You do not have to ask me twice.
Well, I mean, aren't we?
I would love to.
No, but aren't we?
Oh, for the release?
Yeah.
You want to talk about all? Well, I suggested it.
Oh, got
you it. Said I don't want to watch 10 movies. I said there's only 5 plus the 6th one. And then we started talking about Saw.
Right. That sounds right.
Yeah, it sounds about how our conversations go.
Yeah. And then I forget about them.
Mm-hmm.
But you remember. And then remember. I have
to tell you what we talked about.
Yes.
Do you ever think that I'm just making up what we talked about?
Sometimes. I would be. I think my husband and I both are probably the easiest people in the world to gaslight.
That's so sad. I would never gaslight you.
Thank you. I would also
intentionally.
Him.
Sometimes I think I'm right and I'm not, but that's not my fault.
I believe that.
That you know what though? When you're right so much, it's hard to remember the times that you're not.
Okay.
I'm kidding.
You,
I'm kidding.
You are right a lot. It's annoying.
Thank you. It is. Yeah. it must be really frustrating. I can't imagine. Anyways. That movie does come out in May, so if you want to do a marathon, you do not have to twist my arm. I'm in.
Which one of us is getting a Max subscription?
I already have a Max subscription.
Okay, it feels like that's what I'm missing out on. Like, I canceled everything except Netflix.
So I should have kept Netflix. I canceled Max, but then for, I think it was Black Friday, they said 6 months for $2.99 a month. So I was like, that I can do. Let's go. So Max I signed up for it again.
Max was literally, because we got laid off. I think everybody knows this by now. But
well, people who know us.
Yeah.
No, we did talk
We've
about
talked
it.
We've talked about it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We talked about it after the election because it was just like 1-2 punch.
Yeah, seriously. Oh, my God. And I went through all of my subscriptions and canceled everything. Max was the only one that didn't give me like a win back, like a, hey, don't cancel. We'll give it to you for 99 cents a month for 3 months. And then it'll go back up to the price that you were paying. Max is the only one that didn't do that for me. So I'm jealous that you got a Black Friday offer.
They didn't offer it to me when I canceled. I saw it online afterwards.
Oh.
And it said new and returning customers. So I was like, oh, sick. That's me.
Damn it. You didn't tell me?
I'm pretty sure I posted about it in Discord, so.
Oh. Maybe.
Yeah. That's on you, man.
By far the one I miss the most.
Well, if there's anything you want to watch on there, just tell me. I'll stream it for you anytime. I'm actually busy for the next 6 months. I'm kidding. I'll watch it one day, I swear.
It's on Netflix now.
Oh, great. Okay, so you don't need me.
Yeah, I can just watch it myself. I do, actually, very frequently.
As you should.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm excited for Final Destination.
May 14th.
Yeah. I mean, I'm kind of sad because the teaser trailer, again, stop. Fast forward if you don't want to hear the spoilers, if you're trying to avoid them. Did you watch it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah. It's just a whole death scene, basically.
Yeah.
But the person in it is the person I was excited to see in the movie.
Oh, sad.
I mean, you have to know, you know, they're probably going to die if they're in this movie. But still, what's his name? Richard Harmon? He was in The 100. John Murphy from The 100?
Yep.
Okay, yeah.
It took me a second.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was my second favorite character on The 100.
That's
a choice. I know. But I really liked him. I thought he was fun.
Man, that was a really good book. And... actually, a pretty decent show.
That show was so good until it was not. And it happened very quickly.
I don't think I watched that far.
You good for you.
I watched.
It got real bad real quick.
Yeah.
And then it was like, now I'm just watching to finish it, you know?
Yeah. Did it even finish? Did they finish it? Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, I watched until about maybe like 3 episodes after, spoiler, What's-Her-Face dies. The girlfriend.
The girlfriend? Whose girlfriend? There's 800 people in that show.
The main character's girlfriend.
Oh, Lexa.
Is the girlfriend's name?
Yes.
Yes, Lexa.
Yes, Lexa and Clark.
Clark is the, yes.
Mm-hmm. That's, honestly, that's a pretty good spot to end it.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Yeah.
Okay, should we talk about Bones and All?
Yes.
I'll launch us into it then.
Yes, please.
Thank you. Okay, so a little overview of the plot. Love blossoms between a young woman on the margins of society and a disenfranchised drifter as they embark on a 3,000-mile odyssey through the backroads of America. However, despite their best efforts, all roads lead back to their terrifying past and a final stand that will determine whether their love can survive their differences. That's from Google.
That was really deep.
Conveniently does not mention the cannibalism at all.
Yeah, you're so right.
Which is a wild choice, but accurate still.
Mm-hmm.
It was directed by Luca Guadagnino. The screenplay was by David Kajanik. It's based on the book Bones and All by Camille DeAngelis. It stars Taylor Russell and Timothy Chalamet, Timmy Tim.
Mm-hmm.
Despite it receiving a 10-minute standing ovation at its premiere in Venice, it ended up underperforming in the box office. It made only $15.3 million when it had a budget of about $16 to $20 million. But it does have a 6.8 on IMDb, an 82% critic score, and a 63% audience score on Rotten Tomatoes. So people liked it. They just didn't go to see it.
Yeah, that's insane.
Yeah.
Made me, had I pirated this, I would have felt bad about that.
I love that you didn't. Thank you for not parodying.
Uh-huh.
Great. somebody said, I wish I had written it down because I didn't, but I think it was their Letterboxd review. They said, this is the second time Timothy Chalamet has co-starred in a movie with a cannibal. And that's my favorite review ever.
Has he been in a movie with Armie Hammer? That's who- Oh, that's yes. So fucking funny. Wait, that's that hilarious. That
immediately. That's who he co-starred in Call Me By Your Name with.
Oh my God, that's so fucking funny. Wow.
Incredible.
Yeah. Can I just say, watching a lot of interviews with Timothée Chalamet for this mm-hmm. episode, he's so eloquent. He's very, very well-spoken.
I don't think we watched the same. I watched the Milk Duds type of interviews with him.
Well, interviews also for this movie. But...
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, the one specifically that made me go like, wow, he is very good at this and knows exactly what he's talking about, it's called Timothée Chalamet and Taylor Russell break down a scene from Bones and All with Luca Guadagnino Vanity Fair interview on YouTube. It's a very long name.
Amazing. Well, we can link it in the description.
Yes. But yeah, he just has such great insights, and I wish I was as eloquent as him.
Yeah.
As he.
He got it. He understood the assignment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And if you didn't know, this is his first production venture, his first producer credit on a film.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I've read the book.
Oh, yeah. Let's talk about it.
You haven't, correct?
No, I have not. I don't have time.
Did you look it up at all?
No. You told me you were going to tell me about it.
Yeah. Okay, so there's quite a few differences. Not in the main overarching storyline, but a couple small ones. For instance, it's her mom that leaves her. She's searching for her dad, just a switch on that.
Okay.
When she finally does find him in the mental health facility, he does not try to kill her. He doesn't call her a monster. He gives her his journal. It's a very fine meeting. They don't, no bad blood there.
Boring.
I thought it was sweet. I don't know.
Oh, okay.
Sully is a little bit different. She is not suspicious of him right from the start. She actually considers him a friend throughout most of the book.
Okay.
Until he tries to eat her, and she finds out that he's her grandfather. So that's also left out.
Whoa.
Yes. In the movie, there's no relation whatsoever. He's just another feeder. In the book, it is her paternal grandfather. So she, it's genetic, essentially.
Yeah,
it's been passed down.
Well, we kind of get a taste of that. Yeah. Oh, no, we definitely get a taste of that.
With her mom and
his
dad, yeah. Yeah, so in the book, Lee's dad is never mentioned as being a feeder. We don't know.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he leaves town because he killed one of his mom's boyfriends, and his girlfriend at the time saw it happen. So he had to leave. Yeah, so
oh, dear.
That's a whole separate thing. Yeah, so Sully's her grandfather in the book, and crazy. His whole thing is that he likes to eat family members. So they kind of touch on that when he says that his first was his granddad in the morgue or whatever. Oh. But yeah, each feeder kind of has their own type in the book. Mm-hmm. So Lee targets people who are like bullies and mean.
Yeah.
And then she in the book targets people who like her, basically, that want to be intimate with her.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so she never, like, attacks her friend at a sleepover or anything like that.
Damn.
Yeah. But yeah, so those are kind of, like, small little differences throughout it. Mm-hmm. And then the ending is different.
Mm-hmm. Don't piss me off.
So here's how the book ends. Okay. Sully does come. He attacks them. Mm-hmm. Lee overpowers him and kills him.
Oh, great. Okay.
Lee is not mortally wounded.
Excellent.
He is fine.
Okay.
They do not find his sister's hair in Sully's rope.
Wow, okay.
She is fine.
Good.
Marin still eats Lee.
No! God damn it. Why?
Exactly. So that's why I reread it, because I watched the movie already, and then I read the book thinking, like, oh, I know, I'll just get more details on, like, the characters and stuff. No, I reread the ending, like, three times thinking that I missed the part where it talked about his stab wound or her hair or anything. And it doesn't happen. She eats him. And then she basically accepts the fact that she's a monster and starts, like, luring men on the campus that she's at. And, like, leans into it. And it was really confusing. I didn't really understand it. Like, the whole time in the book, which I think is really important to when you think about the author's message, which I will get to. But in the book, it is described as a genetic predisposition. Marin cannot control herself. It's a compulsion. When the feeling comes, she cannot stop it.
Okay.
The whole time, she hates this about herself.
Yeah.
She hates that she chooses people that like her. She wishes she was more like Lee because he chooses bad people. Like, this is a whole thing that she's struggling with, right?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
In the acknowledgement section of the book, and then in subsequent interviews that the author did, she basically says that she's a vegan and this book is about meat eaters, and that they should look at themselves and realize that they're monsters and should stop. That's your own prerogative if that is the messaging of your book. However, I don't think this is the way to do it, by saying you are inherently a monster and you cannot change, which is basically how the book ends, is that Marin can't change. She's just a monster. And it's like, if you want people to be on your side, if you want people to stop eating meat, I don't think that's the way to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was a really weird way to try to get that message across. It was a very weird experience reading that book and the ending.
Weird.
Mm-hmm. Well. So yeah, for the first time in my life, I was like, oh, wow, the movie's way better. Because at least it gives a reason. It makes sense why Lee, wants her to eat him. Because he has nothing. His sister died, you know? Like, he's already mortally wounded. His sister died. He's already said that he would have killed himself if not for his sister. It kind of gives a reasoning for all of this, where in the book you're just like, why? It goes against everything that we've learned about these characters.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's very interesting.
And the fact that you had to, like, explain it at the end is
really, I don't know, maybe other people got that from the book. I did not.
I
until I read the acknowledgments and I was like, wait, what? That's what this was about?
Yeah, that's weird. I thought it was more of like a manifestation or like a personification of childhood trauma. I think Timothy Chalamet said that too, that it was like, it's just like representation of trauma.
Yeah, which I think Luca Guadagnino definitely took the movie in a little bit of a different way when it comes to that messaging.
Sure.
But yeah, even when I was reading the book, I thought it was more not only about generational trauma, but about, like, intimacy issues and that type of a thing, because that's what her focus was on, was, like, anytime someone got close to her, she kind of lashed out.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what I was thinking it was more about.
Sure.
Until the end. And then I was like, wait, what's happening?
Weird.
Yeah, it was really weird.
Yeah, weird. Okay, well.
Yes. So, I mean, at least it's not a, like, they live happily ever after in the book.
I wouldn't have minded that.
Yeah, he dies either way. It's just, it makes more sense why in the movie than in the book.
Yeah. Not to, like, spoil anything, but, like, my only criticism of this movie was that they showed the stab during the fight scene. Oh,
him getting stabbed?
Yeah, him getting stabbed. Oh. It just would have hit a lot harder had you not been like, great, he's gonna die because he got stabbed. You know what I mean? If she brought the hair over to him and you see the stab at the same time and like he lost everything all at once, like he just lost his life, his sister is dead. Yeah. Like, it had all of that, like, come together all at the same time and not been sort of, like, pieced together over that scene, I think it would have been a little bit more powerful.
That's fair. I don't know. Sometimes I feel like that's a little bit too YA cheesy. The battle's done and then they look down and there's blood from them. Like, I feel like that's been done a lot. But I do understand what you're saying. I think it still resonated for me the first time I watched it because... Yeah, he gets stabbed, but, like, you don't know how serious it is until she's like, it's your lung, and he's wheezing in the bath. I think when he comes out of the bathroom, you kind of realize, like, something's wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ugh. It's a rough ending.
It is. Yeah, the sister was almost worse.
Yeah.
I wish we'd gotten a little more of her, too. I like
her. That's fair.
The whole movie just kind of came out swinging, didn't it?
Yeah.
Very early. I not super often, but I mean occasionally, this was one of the movies where I did just like audibly, what the fuck? The second that finger, the crunch sound. This is also a sound movie. There was a lot of sounds.
Heavily auditory in terms of the experience of
it. Yeah. And for a people eating people, like, the blood was not the most uncomfortable bodily fluid in this movie.
No, I was actually going to say this when we talked about our fucked up scoring, but I'll just say it now as a foreshadowing moment. Uh-huh. But her snotting, which honestly, I kind of like that you leave that in a movie because it is, like, very natural.
Yeah.
That, like, sometimes that just happens when you're crying.
Sure.
But it was her wiping it and then wiping her face.
Yeah, what the fuck, Richard?
With the same hand. Oh, I didn't like that at all. I was like, oh no. But yeah, there's a lot of, there's spit, there's snot.
Yeah.
It's a visceral movie.
Yeah. Sully's like little, like his like drooling was actually very good. But like, I have a really terrible core memory of my college boyfriend.
Spitting on you?
Pinning me down and doing that, like, thing that your older brother does to you where he, like, spits and drool and then sucks it back up right before it hits your face.
I didn't have an older brother. Thank God.
my older brother never did that to me, so I...
Yeah, it was... I know what you're talking about, though. I would break up with him that day, personally. Yeah. That's just me, though.
Well, yeah.
It was college.
Yeah. Core memory. I can't spit. I can't.
Yeah, that's fair.
Even like dog drool really bothers me. And I worked in veterinary for a long time. Not a long time.
Oof.
No, I don't do drool. Slobber. But Sully drooling made sense. It was, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. It's kind of a gross movie.
Yeah, it's gross. It is gross.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's pretty though.
Beautiful.
Yeah, it's a really pretty.
Very well shot. Very well acted.
Yeah, not a bad performance in sight.
Which actually I think Luca Guadagnino did an interview where he talked about how him and Mark Rylance, who plays Sully, talked a lot about the script and about the character. And when they would do that, they tried to come at it from Sully's point of view. Because they were like, we can't just make this an exaggerated villain of this... you know, character almost.
Sure.
Caricature. So yeah, they tried to find that like desperation that he's going through and really cling to that rather than focusing on the fact that he's a big weirdo creep.
Yeah.
Which worked. I thought Mark Rylance did an amazing job.
Oh, yeah.
Very unsettling.
Yes. And honestly, his accent was very, just the way he spoke was like endearing. It was like charming almost, which is like the opposite of how you know you're supposed to feel about him, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is fair, because even in the, yeah, even in the book, I mean, he's more likable because she doesn't realize his intentions right away. Sure. Like, she likes him at first. And even still, it was like, in the back of your mind as a reader, you know you shouldn't like him. Like, yeah. You know there's something off about him. Obviously, I did, because I've, well, yeah, but so does she. So it's, you know,
yeah.
When you're in the mindset of this character who eats people, but hates that about herself and is trying to change, it's like you mm-hmm. feel sympathy for her. Mm-hmm. And he, so again, another change that's in the book is they meet in town, but the woman that they eat, she actually meets first, helps her with her groceries. She goes in and takes a nap and dies in her sleep. So she's already right. dead. It's not like she finds her dying on the floor for a whole day. Like yeah. that's super sinister, right? That in the movie, mm-hmm. how she finds this woman is already 10 red flags go up of this right. guy is just sitting in this woman's house waiting for her to die. Creepy as fuck.
Right.
In the book, he doesn't come until after she's dead, and then he feeds on her. So it's not, like, as sinister.
Yeah. Mm.
So he is much more likable. But you still know. You're like, there's something not right.
Yeah. Oh, it sounds like in the book and in the movie, because in the movie, one of the things that I really liked, just a very small detail, and this movie is very good at small details, mm-hmm. Was, like, as they're eating her, they're like showing her house and showing pictures of her with her family and like giving her like you're filling in all the gaps. Like, okay, this woman has like a backstory sort of.
Yeah.
It sounds like they did that in the book too, where like she gets to meet her before she dies.
Yeah. You find out, you really come to like her actually for
oh dear
the chapter and a half that she's alive. And then,
oh no.
Yeah. But it's also, you know, she just dies of old age. It's not this traumatic thing. She just takes yeah. a nap and she's done, and that's okay. But yeah.
Oof. Yikes.
It's a heavy movie.
Yeah. Although I will say, you say you cry during this one.
Mm-hmm. Every time. I cried today when I watched it with my friend.
I didn't have it in me. I was too shocked. I think if I watched it again,
maybe you would.
I would cry. Because I know what's coming, and it's sad, and it is sad. But which is funny, because
you predicted that she would eat him. You knew. And then when you watched it, did you kind of not know?
I didn't want her to. I was like, no way, man. That's why I cry. No way. Oh, God, yeah. It's just, yeah.
Yeah.
It was a lot. It was too much.
Yeah.
It's very I'm thinking about crying right now, but.
I mean, I also cry at really dumb things, so it's not saying anything. Yeah. I made this joke before we started, but maybe listeners don't know. I cry every time I watch Easy A. So, like, that's not a sad movie, God. And I still sob every single time. So that's just the type of person I am, personally. I don't know. There's just some things that hit and resonate.
Have I told you about the one scene in a movie that nobody cries at, but I definitely do?
No, but I just thought of something else that makes you cry that no other human being cries at, so.
I'm sure people do. I know they do, in fact. Thank you.
Well, ask the audience.
No, I shan't. But if I could just write this ship mm-hmm. and tell you about what I'm talking about.
Sure.
Have you seen the movie Fried Green Tomatoes?
No, I don't think so.
Okay. There's a scene in the movie of somebody working in a diner or something. I've seen it like twice. Yeah. I just can't watch it anymore. It's an old man. He comes in and he sits down and he starts eating, and he's eating from a spoon. He's eating corn, like corn with a spoon. And he has Parkinson's. And so he's shaking and he can't get the food in his mouth. And he's spilling it on the floor.
Oh my God.
And the waitress comes over to help him, but he thinks that she's mad at him. So he's like, oh, I'm like, I'm crying. He's like, I'm so sorry, I'll leave. And it's just the saddest fucking scene in cinema. I never want to see it again.
You think people don't cry at that? I would cry at that.
Oh, okay, good.
That's horrible. That's so sad.
Nobody I've watched that movie with. We watched it in high school because we read the book. I was, like, sobbing. And everybody else is like, are you okay? I'm like, this is fucking sad. Why aren't you crying?
You just described the most devastating scene, and you think people... That's weird.
It's so sad. It, like, literally... And I think about it all the time. Yeah, I have a soft spot for, like, elderly.
Yeah.
But, like, God, yeah, it's soul-crushing, that scene.
I was not expecting that, because that actually sounds devastating. No, okay, I cry at the fucking confessional scene in Easy A, where she's like, I kinda hate me. Or a lot of people hate me. And I kinda hate me, too.
Oh.
And I cry every time. And it's a joke, because there's no one on the other side of the confessional. It's a punchline. And I'm sitting there sobbing every time.
Oh, that's funny.
So, yeah. I'm definitely not judging anybody for crying over dumb stuff. But this movie's genuinely sad.
Yeah,
it's a heartbreaking ending.
I was just so scared. Like, I was just, like, not scared, but, like, in shock the whole movie.
Yeah.
I didn't have any other capacity for emotion.
That's fair. But yeah, even the way he shoots it, which is kind of similar to when they're eating the woman and it's showing, like, these snapshots of the house. It's, like, while she's eating him, and it's just snapshots of the blood and, like, the sheets and everything. And it's just,
Yeah.
It's too much.
Yeah.
I can't handle it, Luca. Why'd you do that?
Yeah. Also, twice, because I forgot the first time I had already done it once. Twice, I looked up to see if Luca Guadagnino is related to, what's her face? Giugino.
Oh, Carla Giugino.
Yeah, I kept getting their names confused. I was like, wait, he has to be related to somebody. Like, it's that one lady, right? I did it twice. And neither time was he related to her or even had the same last name.
He's Italian.
Yeah, she's not.
No. Yeah. But a lot of kind of similar to Flanagan, who uses Carla Giugino. Giugino? I always forget. I'm so sorry. Anyways.
Carla, we're on a first name basis.
Yeah, me and Carla, we go way back to Spy Kids. But yeah, he uses a lot of the same people. He's worked with a lot of the people in this movie on other projects. Like Timothée Chalamet did Call Me By Your Name. Jessica Harper is in this. She plays Marin's grandmother.
Mm-hmm.
She was in the remake of Suspiria, which Luca did.
Cute.
I know Chloe Sevigny has also worked with him, I believe.
I saw her name in the credits.
Yes, he did. Yeah.
I had to Wikipedia this one a little bit because I was worried about sounds.
Oh, yeah.
After that first scene.
Yeah.
I saw her name and I was waiting for Chloe Grace Moretz to show up.
Different Chloe.
She didn't.
Yeah, she did not.
Yeah. I also think that Chloe Sevigny, is that how you say it?
I think so.
Looks a lot like that one lady on Saturday Night Live.
Which one?
The one that looks like Chloe Sevigny.
Oh, great.
Yeah, you know.
No, I don't. That didn't help.
Shoot, what does she do? I think they're both sort of like actresses who are in a lot of movies, but it's like, what is she in? You know what I mean? Hold on.
Yeah. I mean,
Kate McKinnon.
That was not who I thought you were going to say.
Who did you think I was going to say?
I didn't know. That's why I was confused. I thought it was going to be someone I didn't really know very well.
Am I wrong, though?
They're both blonde.
Yeah. They both have the same face shape.
Okay.
I see it.
I believe that you see it.
Maybe somebody will agree with me. I know one person who I can get to agree with me.
Our face blind friend.
Mm-hmm.
Michelle?
Yes.
Yeah, probably.
OG podcast fans know Michelle.
That's true. She was on our 25th episode.
Mm-hmm.
Goes way back.
Yep.
Speaking of her.
Yes.
Chloe, not Michelle.
Correct. Or Kate.
or Kay McKinnon. She actually said that in an interview, Luca Guadagnino asked her to play a small but pivotal role in this movie. And she said, I'll come for you even if it's one line. And then she showed up and was like, oh, it's actually just one line.
I mean, it was one line of like on-camera dialogue, but it was like a whole paragraph of
the voiceover of the letter she gives her. Yeah, for sure.
That was another, like, my jaw dropped when I saw her arms. Nice in detail.
Yeah.
I almost wish that Maren didn't say anything about it because, like, it was implied.
Yeah. I don't think she needed to. I don't think in the book they ever say outright that that's what he did because it's just the dad.
Yeah.
And I think it's only one hand in the book. Mm. But yeah, she talks more to his orderly in the book, who's a man who then tries to get Maren to eat him. That's a whole separate side plot. That
what
was
the
not,
fuck?
Not in the movie at all. But yeah, yeah. He
like
he,
like a kink kind of thing?
No, it didn't really come off that way to me. A lot of people were confused because he never outright says it either. So a lot of people, when I was reading like reviews and stuff afterwards, thought that he was implying sex, but I don't think that that's what it was. Cause he very clearly like talks about how he knows about her dad. Like they've talked.
Okay.
And he's read his journals and stuff. So the orderly knows that the dad eats people and knows that he suspects his daughter does too. And so I think her reactions to what he's reading, he realizes that she is like her dad. Mm-hmm. And then he like takes her to his house afterwards because she's already split with Lee at this point. And so he's like, I'll take care of you because the hospital wants to call like Child Protective Services because Maren's only 16 in the book. She's not 18. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's a whole nother thing too. But then, yeah, at his house, he's like talking about how like he basically just implies that he wants, that's how he wants to go out. It's very strange, yeah. And then I think it's implied that Sully eats him. I don't know. It's also a very, like, not, they don't spell that out at all. Like, she just finds his car when she leaves Sully's house. Because then she goes to Sully's house, he attacks her, and then she gets away from him. But anyway.
Oh, my God.
Like, yeah, it's very different. But she finds his car and is basically like, oh, I guess he got what he wanted. So it's, like, implied, I think.
I wonder if he went and ate the dad, too. Did he go and eat the dad? Because that would be his son, right?
So he says in the book that he's going after Maren because he can't get to her dad. Because he's in the hospital. So he's purposefully going after her because he likes to eat his family members and he can't eat one of them. So he's going after her instead.
Got it. Okay. Yeah. Maybe I should read the book.
I mean, I recommend the first 270 pages
of 304
of 304. The last 30 pages, it gets a little rough, a little confusing and weird, but it's where it lost me, but that's okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hey, well, we haven't done a lot of fun facts. Should we?
That's true. We've kind of just like high level talked about it in the book.
Yeah.
Yeah. Give me a fun fact.
It's not really fun, but the crew was burglarized.
It was, yeah.
I guess they got like, I don't know how it works exactly, but they got like $50,000 in, I guess, an insurance payout from the Cincinnati City Council because they were filming in Cincinnati. I don't know if that's how much they were burglarized for, but that's violating.
Yeah, what did they steal?
Yeah, I don't know. And why?
Timothy Chalamet's slutty little jeans. Yeah. That's what I'd steal.
Honestly.
That's why I had to wear shorts in the last two shots.
They actually talk a lot about, or Timothy does talk a lot about, how they sort of developed the, what's the word I'm looking for?
Look. Styling.
Wardrobe.
Vibe. Great.
Wardrobe. For Lee, and how it was like, you know, he may be wearing something one day and not the next day, and like the vibe is always changing, and it's very you know, not gender conforming. And what's the word I'm looking for? What's that word?
Androgynous.
Androgynous. Thank you. Mm-hmm. And he's like, just like sort of collecting pieces from the people that he consumes.
Yeah, that's what it felt like. Very thrifted.
Yeah.
He just found this on the side of the road.
Yes.
I mean, in the last scene, he's just wearing like a little, little periwinkle blouse.
Yeah. Yeah.
Adorable. I love his wardrobe in this.
Yes. Same. But no, they clearly put a lot of thought and attention into it. And I liked that.
Yeah.
And Sully was wearing a Nostromo crew hat from Alien, which I didn't notice. I had to go back and look. But that's fun.
Very fun.
Yeah.
We love a nod.
Yeah.
Can I just say, their depiction of Iowa, spot on.
Yeah.
That's, this movie takes place in the 80s. To this day, that's still what Iowa looks like.
Yeah.
No development. Still just cornfields.
Yeah. My note on the scene of, what is it, IA, right?
Mm-hmm.
The where it says IA, you know how, because every location that they're at in this movie, they do like the state abbreviation or whatever. Yeah. The Iowa one, my only note is Iowa equals corn.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it sounds that's like true. Luca was a little, he was a little tied up in Americans. I think his idea of what we think about corn is a little, I mean, I never lived in the Midwest, so I don't know.
That's how people in the Midwest think about corn.
Okay. So he was
the
right.
Nebraska college football team is called the Huskers.
The Huskers. Yeah. Okay. That's fair.
And then we get in like interstate fights because Nebraska thinks that they rule the corn and they don't. Iowa has been the number one producer of corn for a while now. Anyways. Yeah. He's Italian. He didn't understand the corn fed mentality.
Well, I mean, he tried, right? I mean, he put several scenes of cornfield and he went out of his way in the grocery store that, so the grocery store scenes were shot in a warehouse that had really beautiful windows and they were able to find some 80s retail items that they were able to put on the shelving. But Luca went out of his way to put this like basket of corn. It looks like a trash can you'd buy from IKEA now, this, of corn at the register of the grocery store, which
it was like the epitome of the meme where they're like, he's a little confused but he's got the spirit, like,
yeah
that's, we're not just displaying it. Yeah. but yeah, Midwest, love corn, big fan.
I think corn is one of the five C's of Arizona: copper, cattle, climate, citrus, corn. Okay, I think.
Well, yikes.
I could be wrong. Wait, let me look. Copper, cow, cotton, citrus, climate. What did I not say? Cotton?
Cotton.
Cotton. I think I've made that mistake before.
Yeah. Arizona doesn't seem like a place where corn would thrive, but
we do have corn here, and it grows substantially faster.
Oh.
And drier than yours. Because yours is knee high by 4th of July. Ours is done by March. It's already harvested.
Ew.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's more of like a springtime thing here because it's so fucking hot.
Yeah, that, I guess that makes sense.
Yeah, we're just a little ahead of you in terms of season.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I don't actually know that much about corn, if I'm being honest.
Yeah, some Iowan you are.
I was born in Colorado.
Yeah.
I'm not even from there. She doesn't even go here.
Ay, ay. I don't know if this is in the book or if it's a movie thing, but Marin's birth certificate says she was born in Wisconsin. And Wisconsin is the home of both Jeffrey Dahmer and Ed Gein.
Gein.
Cannibals.
Well, Ed Gein denies that he was a cannibal.
Well,
he just had furniture made out of body parts. That's different. Do you know the three movies that credit Ed Gein as inspiration?
Chainsaw Massacre.
Correct. Typically, you say Texas in front of that, but I'll give it to you.
Thank you. I couldn't remember what state.
Yeah, it's Texas.
Silence of the Lambs.
Correct.
Thank you so much. And people wearing people, bodies. Dune.
No, I'm kidding. Can you imagine? It's Psycho.
Really? There's no...
Yeah.
Oh, well, I guess there's a stuffed body.
Yeah, I think it's more the taxidermy and just, like, killing people.
Wow, yeah. So he's from a long time ago. Psycho is a reflection.
Quite a while.
Inspiration. Had him as an inspiration.
Yeah, 1906 is when he was born.
Wow. He'd be 120.
He died, but...
That's why I said he would be 120.
Well, you never know.
I think I do, actually.
I was waiting for you to push back on that. I was like, no way she's going to let me get away with that. but yeah, he died in 1984.
Okay. Oh, man. An old motherfucker. In prison?
Yes. Well, in a mental health facility.
Oh, okay. That makes more sense.
Yeah.
Speaking of silence, the haircut. Marin's haircut was directly influenced by someone that Clarice interviews in, I forget the character, but a minor character.
Stacey Hubka.
Yes, thank you. In Silence of the Lambs.
Yeah.
Fun.
Very fun.
Yeah, it's a cute little callback. Silence is a perfect movie. Almost.
Yeah, if you're going to include a nod to a horror movie, I feel like Silence makes more sense in this than Alien does, but to each their own.
Yeah. Two very great franchises. Movies.
Yeah, fantastic films.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. This was also a Metro Goldwyn Mayer film, like Hannibal, and it was the first cannibalism film by Metro Goldwyn Mayer since 2001. Hannibal.
Mm-hmm. Correct, yeah. Mm-hmm. That's a fun fact.
It's a fact.
Damn. Yeah.
It did kind of, like, when the... This feels like an A24 movie.
Yeah.
This feels like neon A24, like... Artsy. It does not feel like big money Amazon-backed film. You know what I mean? Which is, I say that lovingly. That's a good thing. This is the first Metro Goldwyn Mayer film. Why am I saying that? Why can't I just say MGM? Like a normal human being.
I was just going to let you cook, but.
Thank you.
You could just say MGM for sure.
I will.
I prefer it.
I will now, starting now.
Amazing.
This is the first film MGM released after being acquired by Amazon.
Yeah. I mean, to its credit, it was not produced by a big studio. It was distributed by them. So it was still, I think, more of a, I don't want to say grassroots, but
Luca
Guadagnino was already kind of established by this point. But it was his production company. And I do feel like it feels like his work.
Okay.
Like that vibe, you know?
It just doesn't feel like a movie that would get picked up by a big production company, you know?
Yeah, that's fair.
Not to say that A24 and Neon aren't big now, especially, but...
Now they are, yeah.
Yeah, it feels like a smaller, more indie movie in the best ways.
Yeah, I feel like if someone told me and I didn't know that this was A24, I'd believe that.
Yeah.
For sure.
Totally.
But yeah, I mean, like I said... 10-minute standing ovation. I'm sure people were clamoring to pick this movie up.
Sure.
And I'm sad that it didn't do as well as it should have.
Yeah, way to go, MGM. They were probably busy with the whole acquisition. They didn't have time to put the effort in. You know what I mean?
True. Any other fun facts?
No, there wasn't a whole lot. There were a lot of interviews on this one. I watched a ton, but it was a lot of the same stuff. And there was it was fun to watch. If you want to watch it, it's on YouTube, like a behind-the-scenes compilation. But it didn't have any commentary or anything. It was more like how the scenes were shot and stuff, which is still very cool, just not really something we can convey in a podcast.
Yeah.
I'll link it in the linky in the screenky.
Love that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I feel like it's hard. I was surprised, though, that going through the the fun facts on IMDb, there wasn't a lot about the book at all, which usually people
will
say, here's what's different, here's what's not.
Well, does it even say in the opening credits, like, based on, or anywhere, based on a novel? I don't think so.
I don't know. It might say it on the poster or something, but.
Yeah, I don't remember ever seeing that anywhere.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Interesting. Maybe that's why. Maybe people don't know. Well, we're here to tell you.
Well, I think if you've read the book, you know.
But right,
if you didn't, then it's like, well, whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. Well, should we rate it?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay. How scary did you think it was?
I give it a 0.5.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
But I think I might up that to a 1, give it a little point.
Sure.
Just because I think the scene with him, Sully, like, on top of it, very unnerving. Uh-huh. Not necessarily scary, but, like, disturbing.
Yeah.
Didn't like it. Very uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm. Is that not fucked up?
I guess.
I don't know. I mean, it's your rating. I'm not trying to influence you either way.
I feel like as a woman, it's scary.
Yeah.
You know?
Sure.
I don't want a man on top of me. Terrifying.
Well.
In that context. I should clarify. What about you?
I gave it 1.5. There was there was some peril and some uncomfiness that I would characterize as scary. Mm-hmm. Kind of to your point, the spooky man on top of me thing, on top of her thing. Mm-hmm. But overall, just kind of a cute little love story with people eating people.
Yeah.
A PEP.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. How sexy did you think it was?
I gave it a 2.
Okay.
I went back and forth because, you know, I mean, people eating people is its own category. It's sort of, you know, it has like a following without saying too much. But I mean, it did have some vibes and they were just like, they were young, you know, and it was just, you know, it just like a lot of conflicting. It was a conflict. I gave it a 2.
Great. Yeah.
What did you give it?
I give it a 3.5.
Yeah, that's fair.
A lot of people covered in blood, which I love.
Okay, yeah.
And then I think, you know, the 80s vibes, the slutty little jeans really do it for me. His little mullet. Mm-hmm. I think there's a lot of vibes about it that are very sexy. But again, I was conflicted to not give it more because it is a very gross movie as well.
Yeah.
So the sounds and the spit and the snot.
Yeah.
That wasn't sexy.
Yeah.
But the vibes? Kind of sexy.
Yeah.
And I'm not even into vore. I'll say it. You were dancing around it. But
I did a little skirting.
Yeah. I'm not king shaming. It's not for me.
No.
But like this movie, I was like, well, I kind of get it, actually.
Yeah. Okay. Fair. Fair, fair, fair.
This movie makes eating people seem kind of sexy. I get it.
Yeah. Yeah. Speaking of the mullet, just real quick tangent.
Mm-hmm.
They pay a lot of attention to detail there too. They couldn't come up with like a color that they liked, so they found hair dye from the 80s that was still usable and dyed Timothy Chalamet's hair with it.
I love that.
Yeah, it's fun.
Yeah.
How fucked up did you think it was?
I gave it a 2.
Okay.
The sound. We've talked about it. The sounds, her sticking her hand inside of him.
No. No. No.
No. Yes. There were a lot of these little moments that were not great. They were fun, but they were a little fucked up. What about you?
I gave it a 3.5.
Look at us switching our sexy and fucked up scores.
Yeah. Yeah.
What does that say about us? Don't tell us. I don't want to know.
Yeah. Yikes. Yeah, it was extremely fucked up. And it came out of the gate fucked up. Like, it started and then it just didn't stop, you know? Just kind of fucking punched you in the face with it. Transparently, it wasn't really anything we haven't seen before in horror, except the hand scene, which I really don't want to talk about. The way it sort of, you know, gave a little bit of backstory to some of the victims was really, like, effective in, like, making it fucked up and, like, the parents getting eaten thing and eating yourself and...
And, oh, the hair rope, too.
The hair rope, yeah, was not... I mean, that's creep factor number one.
Yeah.
And then like eating your lover, and it was just like a lot of it was like really subtly done and like beautifully done, but it was just like, it just, that just made it worse. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It wasn't like cheesy, any of that. It was beautifully done, all of that.
Yeah. Can I say too about the hair thing?
Yeah.
In the book. So he says, I only eat them when they're dead, which I think he says in the movie too.
Okay.
And kind of implying that like he waits for them to die and then he'll go and eat them. And she believes that for a very long time. But then her realization comes when she thinks about the rope and she's like, there would be a lot more gray hair in it if he actually waited until they died.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. So it's like, that was kind of a detail in the book that I really liked.
Ooh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yikes.
Anyways, moving on to the movie. Overall, what did you think of Bones and All?
I really liked it. This movie ate.
Stop.
Figuratively and literally.
I'm calling the police.
Yeah. I'm just going to reiterate a lot of the things I already said. It's not a bad performance in sight. The direction was impeccable. A lot of the little choices that were made in like the filming and the cinematography and the lighting and the character development and the acting were all like perfect. So perfect. The attention to detail was so good. I am sad that Timmy died at the end. That is my only gripe. Did I like that? Not at all. Did I understand why it had to happen? Also, not at fucking all. I don't understand at all why that had to happen. Just please keep him alive. So I docked half a point only. That's all. It's a 4.5 out of 5 for me. This tied with Silence of the Lambs for me. And Silence of the Lambs only lost half a point because of some of the, you know, choices.
Yeah.
The political commentary.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. I really liked it. I want to watch it again. But like, you know, like this.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. What'd you give it?
So I watched this movie before I read the book.
Yes.
And at that point in time, I gave it a 5 out of 5.
Okay.
I fucking love this movie. Yeah. I still love it, but I have since docked half a point.
Okay.
Because even though I do believe that the movie is superior to the book, which is something I never thought I'd fucking say, but I do think it did it much better. But there are some details in the book that I really liked that I wish had made it into the movie. So that's the only reason why it's not a 5 out of 5 for me. I don't like the fact that he dies in the end, but I wouldn't change that. But that's because I love to cry at movies, so that's just me.
I think you could cry of happiness.
No.
Okay.
I don't cry of happiness.
There's so
my go-to cry movies are Short Term 12 and Blue Valentine. So you watch those and you let me know if
Blue
I'm crying.
Blue Valentine.
I fucking love Blue Valentine.
No.
Yeah, so I don't cry out of happiness. I cry out of sadness and despair.
Yeah, sure.
Anyways, yeah, so 4.5. We agree. This is a great movie. I love this
movie. Yeah, it is. There's a 1 in 9 chance that we agree. And we do it a lot.
Nice.
Right? 0.5, 1, 1.5, 2. And there's a 1 in 10 chance. That makes more sense. Since we added the 0.5, now it's a 1 in 10 chance.
That checks out.
Nice.
Yeah. Well, would you survive?
I guess so.
Okay.
If you're in the main character's shoes, you're living. So, but also, I think you either live with it or you KMS was kind of the prerogative. And I might be on the opposite side of the spectrum. She was in that regard. Yeah. So, no, I'm not. I don't live. Sorry, I don't live.
You switched it up there at the end.
Yeah, I don't live.
I really thought we were going in a different direction.
No, I don't live.
Damn. It's rough.
How about you?
Yeah, I think I live.
Okay. You can live with yourself?
I think so, because in the movie, like, there's the option of waiting until someone dies and then eating them, which I think is a little bit more morally justified.
Sure.
Than the killings of the peoples. And also, I am alive now, and have the knowledge that you have to lock your doors. So I think that could have solved a lot of problems they had there in the end. But it was the 80s and nobody locks their doors in the 80s. So
yeah, that's true. Wait, a question.
I think me and Lee are living happily ever after.
Good. Good. Excellent.
Thank you.
Question about the book. Does she, do they all have that like memory loss and then it comes back kind of thing? Or like what's with like the memory loss?
What do you mean memory loss?
Like she doesn't remember all of the eatings that she has done until she turns 18. She starts like remembering some of the things and then like her dad is like filling in the gaps, you know?
Well, I don't know if it's necessarily that she doesn't remember it. It's more like he's explaining why he's leaving. I don't think she remembers like her first time with the babysitter and stuff exactly.
Right. Okay.
In the movie. But in the book, she remembers pretty much everything.
Oh, okay. Got it.
There's like chapters that flashback and chronicle people that she's killed. So
cute.
Yeah. No, she doesn't have any memory loss. It is very, it doesn't go into details when she kills people.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like a fade to black type of thing.
Got it. Okay.
Like it's implied that that's what happened and then the aftermath you see, but not, it doesn't go into details of her actually eating them.
Okay. Interesting. I was wondering if that was like part of the affliction is that like you don't have any memory of it until you turn 18 and then suddenly it's like you got to like figure it out on your own kind of thing. Like,
no, no. She knows what she's doing. And that's like in the book, there's no incident that causes the mom to leave like she does in the book.
Well, it's,
she like even says she hasn't done it in 6 months, so she doesn't understand why her mom just left.
Oh yeah, because in the movie she's like, yeah, it was around the time you were three, and the last time we heard them talking about she was three was when she killed the babysitter.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, in the book she's killed other people since, like she's had other incidents of that.
Mm-hmm.
And they've had to move every time and stuff.
Yeah.
And so I think it's just a point where the mom was just waiting for her to turn 16 because she felt that that was an appropriate age to be on your own.
Sure.
So there's like also that whole thing of she doesn't know if her mom actually ever loved her, if she was just trying to minimize the damage that she did.
Yeah.
And she actually goes and finds her mom in the book too. She like goes and sees her at her mom's grandparents' house.
Oh, interesting.
But she doesn't go and talk to her. She yeah. just leaves.
Sad. One of those, huh?
Yeah.
Hmm. Well, great film.
Great film. Mid-book.
Yeah.
It is a good book until the end. It's just a very disappointing ending when you've seen the movie already.
Yeah. So. Ay, ay.
Yeah. Well, before we go, it's time for you to predict next week's movie.
Sure.
I mentioned at the beginning, it's actually a request from Michelle, who we've mentioned multiple times this episode.
Oh, fun. I didn't know that.
Yes, Michelle requested it. She said she doesn't really remember it, but she wants you to watch it. So.
Oh, good. Okay.
So, predict Mandy.
Okay. Mandy stars that one guy whose middle name is Reese.
Oh, Jonathan Rhys-Meyers.
Yes.
Great.
I think. Who plays a man who finds a woman named Mandy and wishes to pursue her because she's very beautiful. And it turns out that she's actually not real. She is a ghost that he
is. Spooky.
Yes. Well, it's funny. It's a comedy.
Oh, okay. Great. Funny.
Yeah. Yeah. A ghost that he has sort of like conjured because he kills someone accidentally. So he accidentally kills someone. And because of that, he gets a ghost.
Is it the person he killed?
No.
Oh, okay. It's another ghost.
Yeah. They explain
it. Assigned a ghost.
Yeah. They explain it in the movie. You get assigned a like, okay, you're being haunted now. Ghost.
Yeah.
And it's not always the person that you killed. And that's part of the like comedy of it is like, wow, I really wish I could have had the old lady that I accidentally hit with my car
instead of this bitch.
You. Yeah. But then he falls in love with her. Her name's Mandy. And they begin a ghost human relationship, interspecies relationship, essentially.
Okay.
And he has to overcome, you know, introducing her to like his family and stuff. And mm-hmm. yeah, but it works out. It works out in that she has to leave, and then he finds a human that reminds him of her.
Great.
Yep. Mandy. That's it. That's the movie.
That's the movie. Did but I get it isn't.
Anything at all?
Nope.
Great.
Yeah. Sorry.
That's okay. It was a long shot.
It was. I understand your line of thinking with the Jonathan Rhys-Meyers, though.
Thank you.
Because she did think that we were watching a movie with him in it the other day, and we were not. So I see that you probably thought she thought of the movie that she watched with him that she was thinking about.
Yeah.
That's not what happened.
Damn. No. Okay.
This was a separate endeavor altogether.
Yeah. Well.
But I'm excited to watch it. It's been a while since I've seen it, and you'll be happy to know that it stars Nicolas Cage.
Really?
Yes, it does.
I didn't realize he was in horror movies this much.
Oh, yeah. Scream King.
Wow, who knew?
Everyone else.
I guess so.
But yeah, we love it. We love requests. We're happy to take them.
Is it a comedy? Can you tell me that much? It's not supposed to be.
Like, kind of.
Okay. I can imagine with Nick Cage.
Yeah.
Okay, well, cool.
Great.
Yeah, we'll see everybody next Tuesday.
We shall. We'll see you next Tuesday for Mandy. Please let us know in the comments if there's a movie you want us to review. We'll do it. I'll add it to the calendar. Let us know what you liked better, the mullet or the slutty little jeans and bones and all.
Both.
You can say both. If you say neither, you're banned, but that's okay. Yes.
You have to choose one.
You do have to choose one or the other or both.
Or both.
At least one. Yes.
Not zero.
I'll even give you like the little grandma cardigans he wears, his blouses. That's an option as well.
Oh, yeah.
And then have a happy Valentine's Day.
Oh, my God. Yes. Happy Valentine's Day to all. Yeah, this was a love story.
Yeah, this was the romantic movie I picked in honor of Valentine's Day.
Yeah, that checks out now in hindsight.
Thank you.
Yeah. I can't wait for our next People Eating People movie called, what's it called?
I don't know.
I know. Hold on.
What you're thinking of.
It's called The Skin I Live In.
Great. You've never seen that. I won't confirm nor deny if that is a cannibalistic movie. Yeah. But you'll find out in a while, because that's quite a ways away. Yeah, but
it's a long time from now.
Yeah. Now you got everybody excited. Should I move it up?
No. I don't think I'm ready.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll give you time to marinate on that before we do it.
Yes.
But yeah, we'll see you next week for Mandy. Thank you guys so much for listening. Please feel free to like and subscribe. Help us out a little bit. And we'll see you next week.
See you next Tuesday.
Bye.
Bye.